This is Bill Goodwin, inviting all you servicemen and women to enjoy another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our tenor Jimmy Cash, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, it seems that the latest fad among the housewives of America is to attend the auctions of secondhand furniture and antiques, which are being held in just about every town. Gracie and her neighbor, Mrs. Morton, are no exception.
$1.20 is bid. How about $1.25?
$1.30.
The little lady bids $1.30. How about $1.35?
$1.40.
The little lady says $1.40. How about $1.45?
$1.50.
$1.50. How about $1.55?
$1.60.
Sold to the lady for $1.60.
Gracie, why do you keep bidding?
Oh, Blanche, that man on the platform doesn't scare me just because he's got a hammer in his hand. I've outbid him every time.
$1.60 for the coffee grinder wasn't bad, but you certainly paid a big price for that bedspread.
Yeah, that was a mistake. You see, I bought that for Trixie Sagwell. I thought at last I was getting her a handsome man.
By getting her a bedspread?
Well, when the man said with pups, how did I know he didn't mean sunny?
Pardon me, ladies. The articles you bought this afternoon come to exactly $40.
Oh, good grief. I didn't know we bought that much. I'm almost broke, Gracie.
Me too. Mr. Auctioneer, just send us the bill the first of the month.
Oh, sorry. This is a cash sheet. Can't pay. You shouldn't have bid.
Can't pay? My good man, have you a blank check on the Southeast branch of the Northwest Canadian Farmers and Merchant Banking and Trust Company?
Yes.
Yes. You have? Blanche, that usually stops them.
Well, I'll hold your things until 7 o'clock. If you aren't here with the money, they'll be sold. Bye, Doug.
Oh, gee, we don't want to lose those wonderful antiques. Guess there's only one thing to do, Blanche. You ask your husband for 20, and I'll ask my husband for 20.
All right. But let's face it, Gracie, getting $20 out of our husbands is going to be like pulling their teeth.
Yeah. Well, come along, Dr. Cowan.
Coming, Dr. Beecham.
The car's in the garage, Blanche. George is home.
So is Harry. You think George will give you the $20, Gracie?
Oh, sure. I've got a system that never fails. Harry. I tell him how sweet he is, handsome, and smart.
That's the system I use on Harry. And then if that fails, I slug him with a bowl.
Oh, my goodness, I've never laid a bowl on George. Except to cut his hair.
Well, just so you get the 20, I'll catch with you later.
Hello, honey.
But, Johnny, what are you doing here?
Johnny?
Oh, it was you, George. I thought you were Johnny Weissmuller.
Really?
Well, yeah. Of course, now that my eyes are used to this light, I see it was a silly mistake. You're a much younger man.
Oh, I'm not so much younger than Weissmuller. Am I?
Well, right now, you look like 20 to me.
I do?
Yeah, and you have a much better figure than Weissmuller, too. He thinks he's so much, going around pounding on his chest. Now, your chest looks like it's really been pounded. You're my big, strong, handsome, generous ape man.
Gracie, whenever you flatter me like this, you usually wind up asking for money.
Really? Do you usually give it to me?
Yes.
You're my big,
strong... All right. That's enough.
Is that $20 worth already?
What do you want $20 for?
Well, I thought...
Don't tell me you want to buy some more of those stupid antiques you've been lugging home from those auctions.
Don't tell you that, huh?
Well, because I wouldn't give you a penny. Look at this house. Turns, umbrella stands, coffee grinder, deadbolt.
All of which I make into useful articles of furniture, George. Now, yesterday I brought home an old brass coffee pot and made it into a table lamp.
Well, what became of the table lamp we had?
I made that into a tea kettle.
Well, what happened to our tea kettle?
I made that into a flower pot.
And the flower pot?
That's now a darling little radio.
What's become of the little radio we had?
Well, I ought to have something to boil water in.
Why didn't you use the table lamp?
Oh, George, now you're being silly.
Yes, I'm very silly. What antiques did you buy today?
Oh, something we'll be needing, dear. I bought a baby bed.
A baby bed?
And
a... Now, of all the silly things.
A baby bed?
You mean you're... We're going to have some use for a baby bed?
We certainly are, darling.
But, gee, honey, sit down. When do you expect to start using this baby bed?
Just as soon as I can make it into a coffee table.
Oh, nuts. That's all we need yet. An antique baby bed made into an antique coffee table.
Come in.
I don't want that piece of junk around the house.
Oh, excuse me. Did I step into the middle of a family tiff?
Oh, hello, Bill. Trying to convince my wife that it's silly to keep a useless old broken down antique around the house and she ought to get rid of it.
George, where'll you go?
You're a scream, Willie. I'm going upstairs.
Oh, Bill, now you've made him mad, and I never will get the 20 I need. Unless, maybe I borrowed it from you?
Well, sure, Gracie. I can let you have 20.
Oh, you're a cheap.
Oh, I'm glad to do it. I sure 20's enough. You can have 40 if you want.
Well, Bill, will you lend me the $20? George wouldn't give me a cent.
Well, gee, Gracie, I really haven't got it. Besides, if George doesn't give you any money, you can't pay it back.
Can't pay it back? My good man, have you a blank check on the Southeast branch of the Northwest Canadian Farmers and Merchant Banking and Trust Company?
Yes.
I must find a new bank.
Jimmy Cash, our young tenor, sings to you the romantic ballad, It Could Happen to You.
Hide your heart from sight, lost your dreams at night, it could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble, someone drops a sigh and down you tumble. Keep an eye on Satan when church bells ring. It could happen to you. All I did was wonder how your arms would be. It happened to me.
$20 from George.
Well, why don't you wait till he goes to sleep and take the money out of his billfold?
Oh, no, he'd wake up.
Well, not if you were real quiet.
Oh, yes, he would. I'd have to turn him on his back to get to the inside pocket of his nightgown.
Gracie, you mean he sleeps on that little round tummy of his?
Oh, yes. You see, his feet and his head kind of balance, and with just a little start, he can rock himself to sleep.
Let's get pretty seasick in an earthquake.
Yeah. Well, you see, Bill, the trouble is that I don't dare tell George what the $20 is for. If he finds out it's to pay for antiques, he'll have a fit.
Here he comes downstairs. Gracie, I'll see you a little later. I'm going to run down to the cigar store.
Oh, George, before you go, can I have that $20?
What's it for?
$2.10 would be all right. Or $4.05.
What's it for?
Oh, you can give me $5.04.
What's the $20 for?
Three sixes and a two.
Gracie, I'm not giving you any money until you tell me what you want it for.
You're not?
No.
Well, so long, dear.
So long.
Oh, wait a minute, George. I think it's the doctor's doctor.
Oh, yes. I got to kiss the bride.
No, you forgot to give me the $20.
What's it for?
Oh, it's so long, dear.
Oh, nothing.
Oh, there's a man for you. If I had my way, there wouldn't be any men in this world. Just women and children.
Members of the flock who are new around here.
There's something about the deacon that we want to make clear. Who is honored and respected, Deacon Jones? Who's so kind and unaffected, Deacon Jones? When a sinner's moaning low, who will share his prayer of woe? Bloody Lord, hallelujah, Deacon Jones.
Who's so handsome and good looking?
Deacon Jones!
Yes, sir!
I think the postman's got a crush on you, Gracie.
Oh, he doesn't mean anything. He's got... Oh, here comes Blanche up the walk. Maybe your husband gave her enough money for both of us. Come in, Blanche. Did Harry give you the money?
No, I couldn't get a cent out of my old goat of a husband.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get any out of mine either.
Hello, Miss Morton.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Bill, I'll bet when you get married, your wife won't have this trouble.
You're darn right she won't. My wife's going to have everything. Two or three cars, jewelry, fur coats, expensive clothes, and more money than she can possibly spend.
Gee, when are you going to get married?
Just as soon as I find a girl who's got all that.
Well, Gracie, what are we going to do? We haven't got the money there by 7 o'clock. That auctioneer will sell everything.
Yeah, I know. And that's that wonderful antique. That big, beautiful chest with Napoleon's picture on it.
And that busted Shakespeare.
and that great big figure of Hercules.
Yeah. Oh, I especially wanted that to put in our bedroom. And then when George is away on a business trip or something, and I'm lonesome for him, I could just look at that figure of Hercules, and it would remind me of our honeymoon.
It would?
Yes. The man who owned the hotel where we stayed was built just like that.
Oh, Gracie, why do our husbands have to be such tightwads?
Yeah. You'd never know George is the same man who wrote me those passionate love letters.
George wrote passionate love letters before we were married.
I keep them right here in this desk drawer. There, now, listen to this, lad. Dearest Funny Bunny.
Funny Bunny?
Well, he has lots of names for me. Funny Bunny, Pizza King, Lollipop Pie.
Do tell me more.
Well, no, the other ones were just silly.
Oh, I see.
Dearest Funny Bunny, tonight as I think of you, my heart beats like a dynamo in my bosom. I am all a tingle with the electricity of love. Well, Frank, what do you think of that?
Wonderful. Too bad he had a short circuit later on.
Oh, no, there's more. Until I heard from you today, there was no sunshine in my life. I was on the verge of leaving my hotel and wandering through the streets, but your sweet letter came in time. Thanks for the $20.
Now I recognize the style.
Well, you know something, Grant? I ought to leave this letter around so George could see it. That would remind him how sweet he used to be.
I see an idea.
Where would he be sure to see?
See now. When he comes home after a hard day at the office, he usually makes a beeline for the rise.
He does? Yes. So I'll leave it in the bread box.
I think I'd just leave it here on the table, Gracie.
Yes. Oh, all right, then.
Hey, Gracie. Hey, Gracie. You get your dessert. Probably a note from me here on the table. Wait a minute. This envelope is addressed to Gracie. Here is Funny Bunny. Dynamo in my bosom. Electricity of love. Thanks for the 25th. Holy smoke. So that's what she wanted, the $20.
Gracie, it's got a gigolo.
Time for Felix Mills and Gordon. Here, Kentucky.
Thank you.
Well, George found a love letter addressed to Gracie asking her for money. Now, he doesn't remember that he wrote it himself about 10 years ago, so he thinks Gracie is being pursued by a gigolo. Meanwhile, Gracie is on the telephone having her own troubles with the auctioneer.
But I'm trying to get that $20 for you, Mr. Auctioneer. No, no, please don't call my husband for it. My goodness, if he knew I bought all those antiques, he'd be furious.
Gracie!
Oh, I'll have to hang up now. I hear my husband coming. Goodbye.
Gracie, I found out who you wanted that $20 for.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, he wants it right away. He just telephoned me.
Gracie, why give that man money? What if he got that I haven't got?
Oh, George, you should see that big, beautiful chest with Napoleon's picture on it.
He let you see his chest?
Well, I even pounded on it to see how strong it was.
Gracie, you didn't.
Well, sure, lots of women did, even Mrs. Martin.
There are other women who see him?
Why, George, you can't get near his place. It's mobbed with women. They bid against each other.
This guy must be the new Van Johnson. Gracie, what made you start a thing like this?
Well, George, it's your fault.
My fault?
You told me to find myself a hobby.
Well, that's a fine hobby.
Well, would you rather have me play bridge like the other women?
I certainly would.
Oh, Judge, you're just prejudiced. Oh, why don't you come along with me tonight? You'd enjoy it.
Me?
Well, certainly. He's got the bust of Shakespeare, and he's got the figure of Hercules, and he's
I don't want to hear anymore. I'll see you later.
Oh, my goodness. Never saw a man so dead set against antiques. Well, I've still got to get that $20 somehow. Come in.
Hello again, Mrs. Burns. I was so excited when I was here before, I forgot to give you your mail.
Oh, Mr. Postman, am I glad to see you. Have you got $20?
Why, yes.
Would you lend it to me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Burns, but my wife gave me this $20 to buy you a suit this afternoon. If I come home without a suit, she'll have a tizzy.
Oh, I see. If I have a suit, how would you like to buy one of Mr. Burns' suits?
Oh, I could never buy the kind of suit Mr. Burns wears. My wife wouldn't let me spend that kind of money.
She wouldn't?
Oh, no. She makes me spend at least $18 for a suit.
Well, just take a look at my husband's things. They're right here in this hall closet. Now, here's a beautiful pair of lounging pajamas.
Oh, they are nice. I just love those flowers on them. And I'm afraid the pants wouldn't fit me.
Oh, nonsense. You just gather them up in the back and you'll have a beautiful bouquet to sit on.
Well.
And here's a handsome sports jacket, Mr. Postman. Why don't you slip it on?
All right, I will. Oh, my goodness, this doesn't fit me at all. Feels awfully lumpy in the back.
Well, no wonder. Your mail bag is underneath it. Move the bag around to the front and it'll fit you just like it does George.
I'll take it.
Oh, good. And how about this nice double-breasted blue
What's that? Hey, Bill. Why, George, what are you doing hiding behind those bushes?
Shh. I'm waiting for someone.
Why, you little rascal, is he cute?
Some gigolo was trying to take Gracie away from me. And I'm watching the house to see who it is.
No fooling. Well, has anybody gone in?
Nobody but the postman so far.
Oh, the postman.
Oh, well, there's nothing to worry. Wait a minute. The postman? George, he's the guy.
Now, Bill.
It's true. I overheard him talking to Gracie this morning. And he was giving out with a big romantic line.
The postman?
Yes.
Bill, don't be ridiculous. What could Gracie see in that scrawny, broken-down little runt?
Well, maybe she likes your type.
It's just a postman. Bill, how could you think that a little sort of... Hey, he's carrying my suit. And my shoes. And my sports jacket. Why, he's even got my shaving mirror.
Oh, George, you're looking at the pants of your blue serge suit.
Oh, the postman is the gigolo. Gracie couldn't get the money for him. So she's giving him my clothes instead. Why, I'll break every...
Bill, hand me a club.
Oh, never mind. Hey,
Mr. Postman, come here.
You call me Mr. Burns.
Put up your fist, you little gigolo.
Oh, help, Mrs. Burns. Mrs. Burns.
George, what are you... Why, George Burns, the idea of picking on that little postman. You'll have go of him this minute so he can get up off your desk.
Okay, but I caught you. So he's the gigolo who wanted the $20 for.
Gigolo? What gigolo? I wanted the $20 to pay the auctioneer for the antiques I bought today.
What's the point?
The postman, my gigolo. You see, the idea of you thinking I'd have a postal cocky popper.
Okay. But who wrote you this love letter?
What is it? Why, George, you wrote this to me.
I did?
Well, certainly. I saved every one of your love letters, darling.
Really?
Well, sure. It's the only record I have of how much you owe me.
Come, let's go in the house.
George and Gracie will be back in a second. Hard-earned money?
Well, George, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll pay you back.
You can't pay me back. You haven't got any money.
Haven't got any money? My dear husband, have you a blank check on the Southeast branch of
the Northwest Canadian Fire? All right, good night.
The Armed Forces Radio Service.